This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
It's a beautiful morning.
We got a new act. It's phenomenal. It's sensational.
No.
It's terrific. It's even mediocre.
No, it's disgusting. It's a ploy.
What a ass.
You have a pretty fun show. I listen to it most of the time, you know. Keep up the good work.
God, I love you. Get the hell off the stage.
Nice work, everyone. Sharp broadcasts. Really good.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's 13 degrees. Highs today close to 29 this afternoon with a mix of clouds and sunshine. Right now, again, clear skies.
Yeah, it's a 13. Fantastic day today.
You know? Beautiful here. Man, California, Los Angeles County.
Just amazing.
Five major fires, 100,000 people displaced.
Moving into Hollywood.
Evacuated. Yeah, in the Hollywood Hills now, five people have died total, as far as they know. And 2,000 structures burned. And on it goes. I mean, it's just amazing.
The video that is coming out on this, I watched one on Twitter, and the guy was in his home, and he had windows all around the house, and he's taking a video of the fire outside his home. He's
like a panoramic view all around
of the fire surrounding his home, which maybe he thinks his home won't catch fire. I don't know. It was very strange, and everybody was wondering whether the guy is still alive or not. Wow.
Yeah.
And thanks for the reporting that.
They expect the winds may start to die down today a bit.
Yeah.
And they'll get a handle on at least some of this. But, oh, boy. Never anything like this I can remember in my lifetime. I got to try and get a hold of it. I have two different friends in different parts of Los Angeles. And I want to try to call them. Maybe get them on the air
This is the more wooded areas around Los Angeles. Because I remember I said yesterday, I don't remember seeing any trees in Los Angeles.
Well, there are
a lot
trees.
A lot of hills, but not many trees to burn down. But apparently, it's just the high winds that they had out there. Although I believe they have calmed down just a little bit.
Just a bit. And very dry conditions. They've had very little rain there in the last few months.
Yeah.
So.
All right. This was stunning stuff. You know, the announcements from Meta that they've changed their rules, their policy.
Zuckerberg, just, it's okay. We don't need fact checkers, right?
Yeah. In terms of policy, why don't we play Cut 28 again and just refresh our memories just a little bit here.
In a letter he sent to the House Judiciary Committee a few months ago, that sort of outlined the way in which we got a lot of pressure around COVID in particular. To take down more content, even things like humor and satire about the pandemic and about vaccines. We did experience that kind of pressure. The decisions we made ultimately were our own. But there's a real opportunity here with President Trump coming into office with his commitment to free expression for us to get back to those values and really provide space for people to have the kind of discourse and debate they want to have.
You guys going to continue this after his presidency, or is this just a temporary thing for the moment?
This is an opportunity for us to get back to the values that Mark founded the company on. This runs deep for Mark. It's a great opportunity to rebalance and to get back to free expression.
Right. Yeah, you know how Biden was against free expression, the First Amendment,
Sure.
Liberals are always trying to silence people or at least scare them into being silent in the classroom. We know that. Thank you. Thank you. That was the policy chief for Meta. Let's listen to Zuckerberg. That's Cut 29 and his point on this.
I want to talk about something important today because it's time to get back to our roots around free expression on Facebook and Instagram. But a lot has happened over the last several years. There's been widespread debate about potential harms from online content. Governments and legacy media have pushed to censor more and more. A lot of this is clearly political, so we built a lot of complex systems to moderate content. But the problem with complex systems is they make mistakes. And we've reached a point where it's just too many mistakes and too much censorship. The recent elections also feel like a cultural tipping point towards once again prioritizing speech. So we're going to get back to our roots and focus on reducing mistakes, simplifying our policies, and restoring free expression on our platforms. First, we're going to get rid of fact checkers and replace them with community notes, similar to X, starting in the US. After Trump first got elected in 2016, the legacy media wrote nonstop about how misinformation was a threat to democracy. We tried in good faith to address those concerns without becoming the arbiters of truth.
But all well.
But the fact checkers have just been too politically biased and have destroyed more trust than they've created, especially in the US. So over the next couple of months, we're going to phase in a more comprehensive community notes system. Second, we're going to simplify our content policies and get rid of a bunch of restrictions on topics like immigration and gender that are just out of touch with mainstream discourse. What started as a movement to be more inclusive has increasingly been used to shut down opinions and shut out people with different ideas, and it's gone too far.
Immigration and gender, which seem to be the hot topics on the right.
Yes.
The mega right.
Right.
They're attacking everyone on the right. You know, the immigrants and gender. Now, here's the thing. I mean, that's what they're loosening up on Meta. So the problem here is, and this is reported on CNN, they looked at the terms of policy here. This is what they came up with. Users are now allowed to, for example, and that's why I'm calling this Meta turns into a domestic hate group. Users are now allowed to, for example, refer to women as household objects or property, and that's in quotes, or in quotes, transgender or non-binary people as it, according to a section of the policy prohibiting such speech that was crossed out now. The R word, we mentioned that on this show. We got a complaint from a father who didn't want to hear the R word. But anyway, that is probably okay now. A new section of the policy notes Meta will allow allegations of mental illness, the R word, or abnormalities when based on gender or sexual orientation, given political and religious discourse about transgenderism and homosexuality. So now it's okay for those groups to be attacked on Meta. Again, Meta turns into a domestic hate group, folks. Mm. And that's what this is all about. The problem I have is that, you know, Facebook, I go to Facebook. I watch some of the old commercials, pictures of Milwaukee. They have certain websites that specialize in that. I like going there to see these things.
Yes.
But I want to boycott it. I want to get off of Facebook. I want to get out of there.
Do you?
I don't. This is way over the top, what they're doing.
Yeah.
Zuckerberg is doing this to kiss up to the golden idol. And I am just done with this. You know, I'm done. Elon, Zuckerberg, we have no choices. These are billionaires that are controlling our lives. You know, the X or Twitter now, we can't call it X because that would be playing into Elon's idea of what he is trying to do there. So we call it Twitter now, and Facebook has turned into the enemy of this country. And now they're going to be basically a right-wing group. I asked my son, my older son, about what we could do about this. He's a Gen Zer, and he said, well, you know, you just, you know, stop going to Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'm not ever going to give up and stop fighting this. I am not going to create what we created in the 80s and 90s, and that was domination by AM radio to talk right wing.
Yeah.
Now, if we allow all the social medias to suddenly just turn into right wing media sources, then we've just given up. So we've got to do something else on all of this.
What's the movie Social?
The Social Network.
Social Network.
Yeah.
I mean, that came out a few years ago, but all of these things that it points out are now coming true.
Right. Yeah. I mean, women as household objects or property and transgender or non-binary people as it. Mm-hmm. So you can attack those individuals. Now, you can do this freely on Meta. Now, people can put their notes in, and who cares, right? No one's going to be just normalized to the point where no one even checks the notes. Mm. I mean, if it says what they like to hear people say, then they're just going to accept it. And this will just spread the word even more throughout the world, by the way.
Yeah.
How would that apply to white men? Can you attack white men? You know, somebody already kind of went out there and tested the new system that Meta has, and that is they called Mark Zuckerberg a few names.
Oh, really?
And but, well, you know, it's free speech now, right?
Yeah. I mean,
you know, ever since Trump was elected,
yeah.
You know, now we have that opening to go back to free speech again.
This is
upside down, man. This is just no. Biden didn't stop anybody from doing anything. The federal government suggested that this was something that they should take a look at. You know, if they didn't notice it, if their fact checkers didn't look at this stuff, the federal government would step in and say, "Well, this is happening. This is happening. These are lies about this. These are untrue things they're saying about healthcare." They're just suggesting it. They're not asking Facebook to do any kind of censoring.
Mm-hmm. Got a text in here says, "Can we call Trump names?" Is that all right?
Well, I don't know.
On Facebook?
I don't know. Is there a part in their terms of policy that allows that? Some experts who have studied the online information ecosystem raised alarms that the changes could lead to more viral false claims and hate speech on Meta's platforms, which is what I'm saying here, and that's why I think Meta has turned into a domestic hate group. Among other changes to Meta's hateful conduct policy, the company allowing statements denying the existence of protected groups, such as statements that a certain group of people doesn't or shouldn't exist. In other words, you can actually say that now.
Wow.
Say that, you know, transgenders shouldn't exist. Anything goes. Yeah. Well, you know, ever since Trump was elected, you know, I feel like we can move more into that free speech area, you know? Mm. The policy also allows for content arguing in favor of gender-based limitations of the military, law enforcement, and teaching jobs.
Okay. Oh,
boy, I tell you.
It's a brave new world.
And this, I found this, leaked documents expose the real reason why they have these new terms. Zuckerberg acknowledges this will allow more bad things on the platform. Yeah. By following X's lead, Meta's betting on a future where it's not experts anymore, it's users who will decide what's true and what isn't.
Boy. Yeah. Buckle up.
I know.
18 past the hour, coming up in about 15 minutes. Nick Ramos from Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
I mean, there's so much.
It is. It's crazy.
They're devastated.
.7 WMDX. John and Gordy in the morning.
This portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show brought to you by Verlo Mattress. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress. Find them on Madison's east side or west side or at verlo.com. Time now for us to welcome in Brittany Merlot. Merlot in the morning right here on John and Gordy. Good morning, Brittany.
Hello.
Good morning. Merlot madness.
Yes. Oh, boy. Well, you know, it's pretty peaceful around Wisconsin, that's for sure, weather-wise. Just boring.
Yeah, pretty much.
I like it.
Clear and cold.
Yeah.
I know, right? Like days off.
This is great stuff. I mean, we're sitting here on the sideline, you know, looking at CNN or watching the report from California. The fires are just wiping out everything. Yeah. Absolutely. So everything
all over Los Angeles County,
and on the right, the megas are blaming liberals for not cleaning up the forests again, and it's all the liberals' fault for this.
Yeah.
And even though we have warned for at least 30 or 40 years that climate change will cause conditions just like this and yeah. cost hundreds of billions of dollars, trillions of dollars to take care of all of this and yeah. rebuild people's homes, their lives, everything that they've lost.
Hurricane winds, drought, it's all...
It's just so outrageous that they have the balls to blame liberals for climate change at this point.
Yeah.
And while they still deny climate change.
Yeah, it turns out John actually started the fire. John's an arsonist.
Yeah.
He was out in California a couple weeks ago.
That's right. So,
okay.
Oh, my gosh. No, the climate change and drought itself probably started this fire. Just put those Santa Ana winds on top of that, you know, with the dry air pushing in. It's the season for them. When you get 60-mile-per-hour winds and dry vegetation,
yeah,
you're going to get these wildfires, and it's going to become more and more common. You know, mm-hmm. I was reading, you know, people used to say there was a Santa Ana season for these strong winds.
Right.
Now they're saying it's all year.
Yeah.
For California.
Yeah.
You know?
Just outrageous.
And, sad, yeah.
And Gordy was bringing up the fact that the smoke kind of gathers in these valleys on the West yep. Coast there in L.A.
Yeah. The air quality
The air quality has always been kind of a problem there. They've cleared it up quite a bit. But yeah. now with this smoke, I mean, I can't even imagine what it must be like to breathe that air down there.
Yeah. No. Yeah. We got a taste of that, a couple of years
I
ago?
I know.
Just
yeah,
a little bit of wildfire smoke.
I think that's what I'm referring to. It was just horrible mm-hmm. here, right? Yeah. We had to lock mm-hmm. away. We had air alerts. Yeah.
It's well, much worse for them, yeah.
Let's turn to something a little more optimistic around. Okay. Well, silver lining.
Gordy's always the looking at the bright side of life. So.
Trying to. It's getting more and more difficult. But
yeah,
we do have a little hint of some snow perhaps coming our way.
Yep, just a little bit. So that big system that, you know, of course, is hitting down south from Texas all the way to Nashville, bringing heavy snow and ice. That same thing is kind of joining up and giving us a little burst of snowfall. So we do have that moving in after midnight mm-hmm. and winding down by early tomorrow morning. So really just looking at a half an inch, honestly, maybe just a trace of snowfall to maybe not much at all. It's not got a lot of oomph with it.
Dusty.
So yeah. The better chance will be on Sunday. We have a clipper system moving through. It's headed straight for us. Mm-hmm. We could get it 1 to 3 inches from that one. Oh. So,
okay.
Well, at least people get out on the lakes now because they're solid.
Yeah, there's a lot of ice fishermen out there.
Oh, yeah.
Monona Bay, here and there.
Did you hear about there was a food delivery truck driver up north who was on a frozen lake and he was trying to deliver food to someone who was fishing early in the morning, and that truck went right through the ice.
Oh, no.
That was in Wausau, wasn't it? I believe
somewhere up here. Yeah, I can't
was there
the
video
exact
of that?
Shawno, I think.
Shawno.
Oh, Shawno.
Okay. Yeah, somebody.
The
delivery driver just decided to drive out to the guy's ice shack to deliver his food.
You have relatives in Shawno, don't you?
I do have relatives in
Shawno.
You never talk about that. What happened to them?
Well, I have a cousin who lives on Shawno Lake, and I wonder if she saw the truck sinking into the lake. Wow.
I heard the driver was arrested, but not for the truck going through the ice. They were arrested for something else.
Speeding?
I don't know what.
Speeding on the ice?
Maybe.
Drunken driving?
Yeah.
Maybe what was inside the truck. Who knows?
Yeah. We don't have enough warnings for lake driving.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
So you like to get out and do, you know, outdoor activities this time
risky
of year.
Things,
you can't do any snowmobiling right now. Do you ice fish?
What do you do for risks?
I do.
Do you ice fish? Really?
Oh, no. Do you do?
I love it. It's my favorite kind of fishing because there's no bugs, there's no mosquitoes, there's nothing like that. So you just sit in a tent.
Well, you just sold me on it.
And
you,
fish. Yeah,
that's it. Okay. I'm with
wow.
you. No bugs.
Okay.
Exactly.
I'm out
you
there.
Know, what else are you going to do on a cold day? Might as well.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. No. Do you stay warm? Do you have a little heater there?
Yeah, and I'll tell you, the first time I did this, I went out on Lake Superior.
Biggest
oh, no. lake on
wow,
ice.
Yes.
Why did I do? I was terrified, right?
Yes.
And they've got all these heaters just blasting, and the ice is melting, and the
yeah.
hole is made. I'm like, aren't we just going to melt right through?
Exactly. Well,
no,
they know.
No,
right?
We sat out there for 8 hours.
Did you catch anything?
Just rolling.
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
Okay.
Hey, you know, they had the caves up there in Lake Superior. Do you think that maybe the draw for tourism? at this point? We haven't heard anything about that lately.
No.
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe I'll go up there and investigate that this weekend.
That's it. Do it.
That's what I'm going to do.
Okay, all right, Brittany.
All right.
Thank you, Brittany. We appreciate your report, as always. Have a great day. Talk to you tomorrow.
You too.
All right.
Brittany Merlot, our civic media meteorologist. She's got a minute or so here.
Well, I'm just kind of wondering, you know, what people think about this, about Meta and Facebook.
Oh, we got a text in here from Mark. Maybe I should pose the question, which billionaires, Zuck, Bezos, Musk, is winning to become Trump's favorite
flautist? Flautist, yes.
Okay. I don't know. You know, they're all kissing the ring now.
This is so dangerous.
Isn't it?
We were worried about, you know, some of the policies that Trump wanted to put in place, but at this point we're seeing something completely different. It's the way he wants to run the administration. Yeah. We were talking about it yesterday about, you know, threatening other countries. Adolf Hitler did a similar thing, thinking, you know, if Germany were in control of all these other countries, how peaceful things could be.
Right.
And now
floating up these trial balloons.
That's right. Yeah. And by the way, you know, he was the peace president. Trump was the peace president. Now he's threatening war against all these other countries if they don't sell their countries to us or at least give us control.
Coming up next, right around the corner, Nick Ramos from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign on John and Gordy in the Morning.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
From the Civic Media Mothership, it's the John and Gordy Show.
They said these guys were washed up three decades ago, but here they are again on the air in Madison on WMDX. Why? Conspiracy? Or just another dumb program director?
Well, thanks, Stephanie.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah.
Up here, 8 o'clock, a little after 8.
Following us, of course, you know, playing all the other clips that we never had a chance to get to on this program.
Right.
And a Fugelsang. I mean, they got a great lineup of guests.
7:35. It's cold out there this morning, 13 degrees, but it's going to warm up nicely, around 29 for a high. And look who just walked in.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Yes. Nick Ramos from Wisconsin Democracy Campaign joining us.
That's fantastic.
In the studio. Good morning, Nick. How are you doing?
Morning, man. I haven't seen you guys in a year.
It's been a long time, man. You know, of course, you're a guest on everybody else's show, and
sounds bitter.
Acrimony.
Yo, you're fine. I'm sorry. No.
It's good to see you.
Good to see you guys.
Yeah. Man.
Been keeping busy.
Yeah, it's like
never slows down, does it?
That is such a sick joke, guys. You know, I don't know why every time I go on break or take even just like a little mini vacation or something that I think that I'm going to come back and it's just going to be quiet here. Yeah. It never is.
No.
It never is. You know, our legislature, I think they heard us say enough about them being the least active legislature in the entire country.
Right.
And now they're trying to show that they're worth, you know, their salary. So we're just off to the races as soon as we get back in January.
Well, that's amazing. I thought you'd just stop by to say hello. So apparently you have other things you want to talk about.
Golly.
Big things, I know. Let's talk about the thing that's the main thing on your agenda at this point.
Wow.
What's right at the top of your list?
Oh, wow. I got to say, like, I think people are pretty exhausted after, going through an entire presidential election cycle, and, you know, Wisconsin, we're not normal, and that we're always in election season here, and we're going to be for a long time. And so, you know, one of my biggest priorities is I want to continue to work on the progress that we've been able to achieve here in Wisconsin when it comes to fair maps. I know that people think that after the governor signed that bill back in February last year that, oh, wow, we solved partisan gerrymandering in the state. Mm-hmm. But that is a temporary stopgap fix. If we leave it untouched, if we don't get a nonpartisan redistricting piece of legislation passed, an amendment eventually, it's all going to be dismantled. We're going to go back into the same hell that we've been involved in when it comes to redistricting, right, where our lawmakers get to call the shots, mm-hmm, and they get to tell who gets to be represented and who doesn't. And so we got to really continue. And I think that really starts with educating people about how important the Supreme Court race that's coming in April, and making sure that people don't just phone it in after being exhausted after a big presidential election.
Right. We're going to have another redrawing of those maps in about 5 years.
Amen.
And we've got to make sure that the legislature is in the hands of the Democrats.
Well, I'm a nonpartisan player, but I hear you. I mean, yeah, like, you know, balance, I think, is
we
what's
have
important
to get some kind of balance in there. And we're definitely working on the Supreme Court at this point. But I don't know how hard we have to work. We have Brad Schimmel running for the Supreme Court. Well, my God, I mean, this guy is a bumbling fool. And I have proof of that, by the way. You just go to democurmudgeon.blogspot.com, put in Brad Schimmel, and you will see an amazing array of stories. This guy is incompetent, absolutely incompetent. You know, when he said that the state, and by the way, the Republicans believed him in the legislature, but when he said the state didn't have any control over our water supply in Wisconsin, you know, it's our state, you know, we should have control over that. And they took off on that. You know, bottlers would come in here and set up camp and drain our aquifer as much as they wanted to, according to Brad Schimmel. That we didn't have control over that. That was insanity, and this guy wants to be on the Supreme Court at this point. We have to make sure he doesn't get there. And I'm sure he'll make a lot of dumb comments and a lot of mistakes on the way to this this election for the Supreme Court, but we still have to emphasize that he does not know what he's doing. He is a tool of the right wing. All right? I mean, that's what I'm saying. Okay, I know you're more nonpartisan.
That's right. You get that out of your system now?
No, well, I have a story right here, and I was going to do it.
He's got the Brad Schimmel dossier sitting here you know, in the Civic Media Lounge. Yeah, I mean, as a guy, purely nonpartisan here, gang, you know, my biggest thing is that I want to make sure that the public is very educated about how these candidates land on the issues, because people, you know, a lot of times want to just participate in the really super sexy elections.
Yes, the big ones.
President, yeah. Senate, mm-hmm, you know, nobody really wants to take the time to really understand the nuts and the bolts of what our state Supreme Court really has the authority to do, what they do, what kind of caseloads they work on. And so I think it's so important to be able to establish some real nice baselines across the electorate so that they have, you know, as much education, as much information so that they can go participate in democracy and be, you know, a well-informed voter. I mean, that's my goal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when the voters get their votes in and they're counted, you know, we accept the results of those elections. And I, you know, not to send some kind of, you know, warning shot or, you know, some kind of, you know, message, but I just think when I say that phrase, I just think about how 2020 looked compared to what 2024 looked as far as election results and how we accept them. And, you know, in 2020, we heard a ton about election fraud, integrity, mis and disinformation, all types of fraud claims. And then look how quietly we certify the election this time when a different party takes the White House. And so, you know, I want people to understand that, like, election integrity doesn't just mean that you get to just say something or stomp your feet like you're a kid in Toys R Us that didn't get the toy they want when your candidate loses, that we need to be all participating in this. And that's how the political pendulum swings. Sometimes it goes right, sometimes it goes left, but we need to be doing everything we can to make sure that our institutions are actually being protected and we're not, you know, dismantling them by making all these baseless claims.
Well, they're still trying to make it seem like there's a problem with election integrity. And they want to put something else on the Constitution this time around. Voter ID. Yeah. And we've been talking about it on this station. You know, one of the most egregious red flags that they could possibly have sent up the last time when they put in voter ID was to take out the DMV, easy access to the DMV on University Avenue, where people could just take a bus and get their voter ID card. They built a new building on University Avenue for the DMV, but they didn't rent it to the DMV. They instead put the DMV out on the west side in Middleton in an industrial park where there wasn't bus service. I mean, you can't get more obvious than trying to make it more difficult to vote than that.
You know, when I arrived here, I didn't expect that, you know, I know that we're right above comedy on state, but I didn't expect the whole stand-up comedy routine up
well,
here, but
you.
Yet this is our lives.
Yes.
I mean,
this
so,
really is.
You know, a real dark comedy that we get to hear this morning. But, you know, look, it's very frustrating as somebody that I consider myself an expert on voter ID. It was literally my full-time job before I became the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. And I have had to work with people of all different walks of life, all different demographics. And it is not easy to help people get their underlying documents to go, like, to go get an ID so that they can go vote. Like, everyone sits here and speaks from this place of privilege. Like, well, you need an ID to go to go get a hotel, or you need an ID to go buy alcohol. But it's like, we're talking about voting here, guys.
Right.
Shouldn't we be doing everything in our power to make sure that our voting age eligible population is all participating? You're literally pushing them farther and farther away, and you're putting some people that deserve to have their voices heard, never getting that opportunity to do it. Because, look, right now, approximately 10% of the voting age population does not have a government-issued ID, a valid one. So if you apply that metric to our voting age population, that is 460,000 people right now, today, in a state where it's razor-thin margins, that they do not get an opportunity to vote because our strict voter ID law, which has been the strictest in the nation for quite some time, you know, and now these guys and gals want to go and enshrine this very bad piece of public policy in the name of election integrity into our Constitution. And that's not fair. And we need to make sure that we push back on that hard.
Talking with Nick Ramos from Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Our phone lines are open, 608-879-8255. That's 879-TALK if you'd like to chime in with a text or a phone call.
And I think you could add to that all those individuals that don't vote. Yeah, so we should try to get them to vote. And when we hear about election integrity and how horrible it is and no one believes that you can get your vote counted anymore, it discourages everybody else from not voting.
Bingo.
Yeah.
And you know, what I'm starting to see from some of our state lawmakers is they're taking, you know, photos of like the governor and, you know, throwing it back in everyone's face and saying, well, holy mackerel, the governor likes this. Why is everybody now saying that people are being disenfranchised? We haven't stopped for one saying that voter ID is terrible. It has been challenged since 2011 in this state. And because people have to become comfortable with something that is extremely discomforting, like, that should not be your crutch that you get to then go tote and say, well, everybody's in favor of this. It's just when one party, you know, wants to enshrine this in the Constitution, now you're throwing a fit. It's like these issues have always been issues,
right,
and we're going to continue being issues because you want to keep people out of our electoral process, and that is not democracy to me.
You know, it could be so easy if we just registered people when they got their driver's license, right?
Now from comedy, we're getting to hear some real, like, high-level, upper-management type stuff.
Oh, right, I know, here. I know. Well, you know, that's the way it is.
They
here
they
on the
pay
show.
You the big bucks for that, I see. But, you know, common sense and decency, it just does not seem to really resonate in this state. And that's why I'm trying to make sure that when I'm going in here and testifying, that I'm voicing the frustrations of what people see from the outside and what I have to hear. And it's, you know, everybody says that there's no real bipartisanship in this state. You know, it's one party that gets to rule with ironclad fists and the other one gets to just ride with whatever agenda they pick. And like, how is that fair for a state that is way more 50-50 than, you know, what these committees are looking like, how the maps have changed the somewhat the political landscape here, but yet the committees are so misbalanced. I mean, you have, you know, it's 9-10, you know, Republicans, 2 Democrats. Like, how is that, like, indicative of, like, the populations that are here in the state? It's not.
If it were the other way around, we'd hear about it. What about the initiative proposal from Governor Evers?
Yeah. You know?
Tell us about that.
You know, and it strikes a chord in my heart, being from Ohio and knowing that while Ohio has plenty of issues in and of itself and nobody hold me being from Cleveland against me, I will just say that they, back home, have citizen-led ballot initiatives where, you know, it's kind of cool to let the people on issues that they think ought to be law have an opportunity to put that on the ballot instead of the lawmakers telling us what we need, trying to self-diagnose us like there's some kind of doctors that have never seen us ever in our lives, but they just know the best for us. It would be really cool. So the governor recently talked about in the budget trying to be able to pass a constitutional amendment that would give us the power to actually be able to bring ballot initiatives, not advisory referendums, actual citizen-led ballot initiatives.
And well, we got to take a break here, but this is really, really an important issue because usually the idea here is that there's a huge majority of Wisconsinites who want, you know, legal pot. They want health care. There are a whole bunch of issues that we could get to on those ballot initiatives and take care of these problems. And the Republicans don't want to hear it. They don't want to listen to the people.
We will continue with Nick Ramos from Wisconsin Democracy Campaign on John and Gordy in just a moment. Stay with us.
Let's defend our freedom and our dignity. Now raise your voice and let's keep hope alive in 2025. Now vote!
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
WMDX.
We're with Nick Ramos from Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. We're going to talk about initiatives.
Yes. Ballot initiatives that Governor Evers really wants to push in this state. Finally, you know, get the people to say what they want to see on our Constitution, say what they want to make changes to. You know, so far the Republicans, their language has always been, well, the people don't want this. Well, they're telling us what the people don't want. BS.
And that's, Nick, you're over to you.
I just want to stand here and just listen to you cook this morning, honestly, because it's just, you know, being in the bubble, I just don't get to hear these kind of hot takes. Honestly.
Well, I know.
Okay. Life original. Is but a comedy at this point. But you're, you know, it's such a novel concept. You know, like, doesn't it sound great to us just to be able to have that kind of level of agency, to be able to actually step in and say, you know what, all these things you mentioned, marijuana, you mentioned healthcare. I mean, there is a long treasure trove of things that people have been begging for. We've pulled it. There's so many things people are interested in. But of course, you know, Daddy Warbucks and the fellow lawmakers there in the Capitol happen to know better than what we know here.
Well,
in the-
We're talking during the break about the minimum wage.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know how long it's been $7.25 in this state, but last time I checked, you know, we spent a lot of time talking about the economy and inflation. I think we should be bringing that number up at some point.
Why didn't that come up in the discussions? You know, inflation, of course, was hitting everybody hard, and no one brought up raising the minimum wage in Wisconsin. And the thing is, we're watching the minimum wage go up in all the other very, very, very red states. They're voting these things in. You know, the public has a say in this. And, you know, we had an initiative in Milwaukee. I think it was for extended leave, right?
Leave, yeah.
Sick leave. Yeah. And the Republicans didn't like that. It was too out of balance. You know, people moved to Milwaukee and all of a sudden there's sick leave there. Oh, my gosh. That's different from the rest of the state. How would they know what to do? You know, and then they made it, where no one could have a special type of situation in each and every city. And it wasn't just for sick leave. It was for everything else. Statewide laws. That's what they believe in very strongly, because it's just too confusing if we have individualized laws and taxes and in cities and in communities all over.
Wow.
Too complicated.
Wow. You know, not doing the hard work to actually be able to deliver the solutions to people instead
exactly.
of giving a one-size-fits-all
That's
approach
right.
to everybody.
Because,
yep. you know, what just baffles me is the fact that, you know, we see folks all the time talk in these kinds of circles where they are not acknowledging the fact that other people have different life experiences. We're not all starting at the starting line mm-hmm. together. And this should not be something, just like I hear similar arguments when it comes to student loan debt, and people are talking about, well, you know, these students, they knew what they were signing themselves up for, so they ought to pay back their loans. And it's like, you know, we grew up in a system where they told you that you needed to get a college degree. You needed that to be able to go get a career that's actually going to mean something. And no one was spending time talking to me about the trades when I was growing up. And man, that would have been interesting. But, mm-hmm. you know, there was so much emphasis on that. And then the way that the system's been created, it's almost impossible to pay your student loans back. But then you hear people complain and talk about how, well, you know, they signed up for it. They made their bed. Let them lie in it. But other people that have already graduated and still own loans, and they're like, they're seeing people getting their loans forgiven. They're like, well, why would I be mad that other people are going to get their loans forgiven? Like, we should not be looking at people and then getting pissed off because, oh, well, these group of people get something nice and I don't get that nice thing, so no one can have it. Like,
yeah.
You're not my yeah. parents. You don't get to ground me like that. Like, no.
It is bad. You know, they just don't want to see anybody else get that that helping hand, that that lift, and get society back on its feet again. And we know that these loans have prevented people from, buying cars, buying homes, starting families, you know, little things like that that would just boost the economy through the roof, basically, if we just had that. And so many other countries, by the way, pay for a college education. So they know beforehand that it works, but we just resist because we have to be these rugged individuals.
You gotta pull yourself up by your bootstraps, oh, brother. Let me tell you something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, my granddad and his dad, you know, they were self-made men. They didn't have any help. Like, you know, like, what are we talking about? Like, we're a society that needs to be able to resolve, like, to work with people to get anywhere in this life. And it's like, anybody sits there and say they're self-made anything, they're a liar. Like, you know, maybe besides Rambo in the movie. Otherwise, everybody else, like, you know, we're here trying to do the best we can with what we have. And, like, we should be working to try and implement policy that is beneficial for everybody. And if you don't necessarily get to enjoy that benefit, but somebody else does, like, your response shouldn't be, well, that's not fair, so let's just be scorched earth about it. Like, we should be trying to bring everybody up so we can have the best, strongest Wisconsin, best, strongest country.
You can argue against all of that, but also think about change. Making things better, progressing. That's what it's all about.
Hear, hear.
Nick Ramos, thanks for being with us again.
Fellas.
Always pleasure. I know you're a busy man. You're going to move on to your next thing for today.
Oh, yeah. Pray for me, guys.
We're glad to have informed you. I know you're in that little bubble.
Wow, this is like church to me, let me tell you. Thursday morning.
Great to have you. Hey, we'll see you again soon. Tomorrow, Jimmy Kay will join us in for Rocker with a Max Inc. preview.
Stephanie Miller is up next.
We hope you have a great day. Thanks for listening. Talk to you first thing in the morning.
John and Gordy Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.